Our first song is going to be 366. This song is often sing slow, so let's give it a try singing it fast. Jesus is coming again. Same song on that first there. Song before announcements. Praise him. Let's give God some praise. Let him know how much we appreciate him. Praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. 566, first, second, and last verse. And on that verse, oh, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh, earth, his wonderful love proclaim.
To the Lord. Amen. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for that song leading. Let me do a couple quick announcements for you, if I could. Welcome to the Sunday night service here at Skyview Baptist Church. And Brother Gabriel, I just got to stop everything. You just got this much of your mustache showing. You look like Hitler. It looks like a... So I took a picture in the service, Brother Gabriel. And some of you don't know what happened in the parking lot service. Who was not at the parking lot service? Okay, we preached outside. And Gabriel came. And one chick got saved. And you're like, what does that mean? So there was a crow that apparently was attacking a chicken and was going to kill and eat the chicken. You've got the chicken still. Okay, can we show it to the camera? We gotta come up to the camera. We're going to show the... This is the chick that got saved in our service. And so Brother Gabriel saw that crow that was trying to eat the chicken, and he saved it. So Gabriel came, and one chick got saved in our service. Yes. You know, somebody lets you. Gabe thought it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he was going to fight the crow for it. There we go. So, all this service is for the birds. It's gone foul. I'm sorry. Okay, so, anyways, that was a lot of fun. You never know what's going to happen. Had a great time. Got a chance to preach in the rain. A special thank you to Matthew Myers, who was holding the umbrella, and he kept me somewhat dry during the rain time. I enjoyed the parking lot service. A couple quick things. Let's see, if you mail a check-in during this time, some of our folks can't come in, and so they're mailing a check-in, please include your phone number in there, and so we can call you or text you, let you know we received the check. Sometimes people are wondering, are the checks making it to us? We can't count as frequently as we have before, so sometimes it takes a little longer to get to the banks for deposit. Tithing plates are near the exits. Are the tithing plates back there, Jeff? Looking. Okay, wonderful. Okay. And we got a big mean looking guy standing over the tithing plates. Good enough, yeah. And because there's a black crow that'll come in and attack him, you got to watch it. So, we had a chance. I'll make that announcement today. Let's see. If you fellowship after the service, we're just asking you to try to keep recognizing social distancing. People. In general, especially in this area, I can speak for. In general, people are kind of relaxing some of the fears of social distancing and so on. And I'm asking our people to still recognize social distancing, to still be respectful of people. Please don't make someone who wants to be socially distant have to beg you to, you know, stand 6 feet away or something like that, so they feel comfortable coming to church. We want everybody to be comfortable coming to church and feel safe. Let's see. We have a parking lot service at 12:30. I can't speak very well. At 12:40, we have our parking lot service, and that's specifically designed if you can't come into church. People come to both services, but if you feel uncomfortable coming into church, we have a service where you come in your car. You stay in your car. And especially if you're high risk, I don't want you to put yourself at risk. And so we preach to you in the car. It's a little shorter in time frame, but it's a full service. And had a wonderful special. Lizzie did a wonderful job and playing the guitar for the music and for the special. We appreciate that. If you do not receive emails when there's email updates and you want to receive some emails, please send an email to chrism@skyviewbaptist.com. Or Julie M. at skyviewbaptist.com, and they'll put you on an email list in case we have some changes that people need to know about. June 10th, this Wednesday, the Right and Holy Reverend Joel Byram will be coming and preaching for us. And he has preached in over, what is it, he's been on 46 different missions trips, I think it is, preached in almost every continent, preached all around the world, and we get a chance to have him here. Now, for some of you who don't know who that is, that's Joey, and he actually got saved at my house. We were troublemaking teenagers together, and then when he got saved, we began to study the Bible together, and he's now pastoring up in Kent, Washington, and once in a while, he'll send a spy to our church, and they send spies. Brooke Byram's here. We found her out, and she was trying to wear a mask and think we wouldn't figure out who she was, and she's here spying on us. And so are you going to be singing a special tonight? Awesome. That's great. We're looking forward to it. And so now, when he comes, we're trying to raise some money to help the pastors in the Philippines. They're really struggling. And we're trying to raise $1,000. And we're hoping to raise it before he comes on Wednesday. He's not coming for that specific purpose. I will ask him to mention it, but he's not coming. I just asked him to come preach. But if you could help towards missions, any amount, it doesn't have to be $1,000. Everybody doing their part is what helps us. If you can help some, if you'll designate on your offering envelopes, or if you're giving online where it says notes, and you'll put missions on there, anything raised between last Wednesday and this Wednesday will go towards that missions project. And then how did it go with the homeless today? 5 people went out? Good. It would be a blessing and let them know that people cared and loved for them. That was wonderful. And they got supplies. Are we still receiving supplies for the homeless? So you can still bring in supplies for the homeless. And they take frequent trips and try to help them out. And then Brother Benny Beckham is going to be coming on July 19th through the 23rd. And you don't want to miss that. I'm asking our people to do two things. First and most importantly, pray and fast. I'm pausing when I say that word fast because everybody gets scared. They're like, Pastor, I'll pray you fast. And pray and fast. Ask God to do something in your heart and ask God to do something in the hearts of the other people. At this point, God has chosen to put his hand on Brother Beckham in a special way in the last several meetings. It doesn't mean it's going to happen every meeting. It doesn't mean it does happen every meeting. But right now, God's orchestrated it for us to be able to have Brother Beckham here, and that's, we weren't supposed to be able to do that. He's booked up for 3 years, and when I asked him about it, he said, I booked up for 3 years, and I said, well, I understand. In 3 years from now, if you can come, that'd be great. And his wife said, well, a meeting just canceled an hour ago, and I said, well, I'll take that one. And she said, oh, no, we got a big list of people who asked for it. He says, honey, she had that look. You know the policy, first come, first serve. You know, and so I'm like, well, I'm first. I'm first. And so we got a meeting for July 19th through the 23rd. It's called a week of meetings. And I don't know exactly what that means, but every evening we'll have a meeting. If some pastors want to come, we may have a little luncheon for the pastors. We'll do question and answer, maybe prayer time, something like that. And it's going to cost money for the conference. So if you could help give towards that, if you put conference on there, we're going to need to put them up for that time. We're going to need to feed them, host them, pay them for being here for a week, things like that. And so if you can help towards that, put conference on the offering envelopes. That's a lot of announcements. Are you still awake? Barely. Come on up and lead us in the song. By the way, I love that tag teaming. You guys, one to the piano, the next one is in switching back and forth. That's cool.
Okay, we have one more song. 347, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. First, second, last verse of this song. On the first, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my greatest gain I count but loss, and for content
how we take our tithes and offerings. And we don't pass the offering plate, but they have offering plates in the back. I bring one up here just to try to keep things as regular as possible. And one of these days, we're going to start passing the plate again. Right? And we have to see if there's a sanitary plate. I know we can do. Jeff, I got to figure it out. They've got that 6-foot stick that they carry to make sure we know how far social distancing is and all that. They put a glove on the end of that so you could shake hands. And can we show them the glove, Jeff? Can you bring that up here? I like this. It's kind of a fist now. The fingers have got all crumbled. And so maybe what we could do is we put the offering plate at the end of a 6-foot pole. And we'll just hold it out to people, tell them not to touch it, and we'll figure something out. But listen, I've said this before. It's very important. I want to point out something. Many people lost their jobs. Many people are in tight financial situations. Many people are hurting. This is when it takes faith to give. When you got an extra $20 in your back pocket and you throw it in, that's nice. That's sacrificial, that's worthy, but it's not necessarily faith. As a church, we're increasing our giving when things, offerings are down. You know, when you don't make money, you don't tithe on not making money, as a general rule. Or you tithe on it, but 10% of zero seems to be zero. But there's a principle. There's a principle of giving. I want God to look down and I want God to say, they believe I'm in charge. They believe that their homeland, heaven, the economy is just fine. And they know where the paycheck comes from. There are companies that are big enough that are paying their people not to work. There are some government jobs that are paying their people, government jobs, they always pay their people not to work. No, I'm kidding. Jeff and my wife both drive bus for the government. I got to tell the joke. Got a second? I'm watching that time. Okay, I'll make it fast. The three kids were comparing whose dad's the fastest. One says, my dad can take a bow. He can aim that bow. He can shoot the arrow. He can race down, take the target, move it in front of the arrow, and get a bullseye. The other kid, that's pretty fast. But my dad, he could take a gun. He could draw that gun, shoot the gun, race down the lane, grab the target, hold it in front of the bullet, and make it a bullseye. The third one says, that's pretty fast, but my dad's faster than both of yours. My dad works for the government. He can get off at 3 o'clock and be home by 2:30. And so, sorry about that. But understand, when things get tight, you're the one who's supposed to be the giver. Christians are supposed to be the giver. We're the ones who are supposed to have faith. We're the ones who are supposed to reach out. Just pray and do what God wants you to do. I'm not telling you to give anything God doesn't want you to give. I'm not telling you to tell God what you're going to do. It's His money. But I am saying, keep your ears open, and if God says give, you give. It's wisdom when you go through tough times. Well, let's have a word of prayer for the offering. Heavenly Father, we ask you bless. We ask you bless this offering, bless both the gift and the giver. Father, help us to be help this offering to be used for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in such a way that your name is glorified. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Where the ransom will shine.
What's the name of the group again? SBA? The Single, Beautiful, and Available? What is? And Looking for a Rich Guy? No, I'm kidding. The pastor told us two hours ago, quartet. The quintet that can't count or something like that. Yeah, that's awesome. And let me fix my thing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 20? Good job, ladies, by the way. That was wonderful. I appreciate that. I asked them this morning just to make up a group and do it, and they did it. And I appreciate you to roll with the spontaneity. Like the big word spontaneity. You know what spontaneity means? Neither do I, and I can't spell it, but it sounds cool. And yeah, she's with me right there. Proverbs chapter 20. Now, I'm going to... here we go. I'm going to do something. I'm going to try something tonight, okay? Proverbs 20, we've been going through it verse by verse, learning what it says. It's a tremendous chapter in the Bible. All of them are tremendous, but several powerful things in Proverbs chapter 20. I'm starting on something here that, how do I say this? I've taught this many times. This section of Proverbs chapter 20, I teach in the business course. So some of our people have been in the business course. Chloe, you've probably heard it. Matthew Myers has heard it. Alex has probably heard it. And the Bible tells you how to conduct yourself in business. There's several principles that you do not violate. Now, understand this, that when you make application to some of this, this is going to kind of kick you. You'd be surprised how much God says that we do that we're not supposed to do. And so I told Brother Myers, I gave him the notes, and I said, you know, as I'm reading this, it's kind of all one section, and I think what I'm going to do is just roll till we stop. So I've got a timer up there. So you're going to learn about it, but I might stop right in the middle of it. I might say, and then the most important thing, let's pray. Now, understand this. When I say in business, I'm not just saying you're a business owner. But let me say it this way. If you work a job, a 9-to-5 job, you are a business owner. You are the product that you're selling. You're selling your time. Do you understand in America right now, if you buy and sell things, if you make more than $400 in a year, by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 2 years old and you make more than $400 in a year, you're supposed to claim it. I was just told that by the IRS. I decided to call them one day because I did what you do. I said, oh, they don't care about this much money. I won't bother with it. And I thought, oh, I never bothered to call them and ask them if they would care. And so... let me do this. I'm gonna start preaching at you. Let's do this. Let's read Proverbs chapter 20, and we're gonna start at verse 10, and then we're gonna start learning some principles for business. And understand when I say principles, it's how to conduct yourself, or how God wants you to see business, and then we'll start applying it to our lives. And I think this could be helped too. And let me say this too, by the way. This could be helped financially. I don't believe you should chase riches. I think the Bible says, clearly, labor not to be rich. I don't believe you should go to work to make money. I think the Bible says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for the Lord. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I don't think God ever endorses laziness, but you do not depend on a company to pay your paycheck. You depend on God. So stay with me. But there are principles in the Bible that allow you an ability to create income. And God expects you, once you create income, to use that income for His glory. There's nothing wrong. There's a gift of giving. Do you realize that? There's a gift of being a person who creates income and gives. That is a gift in the Bible. People say, well, would you chase a giver more than just the average person? You bet your sweet britches. What do you mean? If you're a bus captain, you run 3 buses and each run 40 people and you bring 120 people to church because of your efforts and you're out of church, I'm going to chase you harder than someone who just shows up Sunday morning. I'm trying to make sure, because you're in ministry and you're doing ministry and you affect a lot of lives. And giving is a gift. And it's a fun gift, by the way. It's an addictive gift if you like doing it. So the things that are taught here will help you make money if you apply them. And it will show you some of the reasons why you're not creating income. It'll show you some of the reasons. Proverbs chapter 20, and we'll just read two verses, and then we'll start through the lessons. Proverbs 20, verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Let's have a word of prayer and get to the message for tonight. Heavenly Father, there's nothing man can do. There's no wisdom man can portray that changes someone in eternity. It has to be your Holy Spirit using your words that you once said to be in a heart of someone who receives them. We ask that you do that tonight. That you send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to help us be people who conduct ourselves in a way that brings glory to your name, take out some of the fallacies that we've been taught or that we believe, and help us to see business the way you see it. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, the very first one, I want to tell you the story behind this. Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. Miss Sally, you remember this. Remember when I was teaching at Sunday school and I was teaching in Proverbs 20, we got to the business stuff and I started teaching about it is for naught, saith the buyer. And we talked about asking for a better deal. That was a lot of fun. And we did something in my adult Sunday school class. I had an adult activity where we took a bus and we went garage sailing. And the rule was you couldn't pay full price for anything. You had to learn how to barter. And so I'd get off the bus, and these people would just look at you like, what in the world are you doing? A busload of people. And I'd say, listen, I don't want to be offensive to you. I got a busload of people. They're learning how to buy and sell. It's part of my Sunday school class. They have to barter with you. They can't pay full price for anything. I do not want to be offensive. I got about 20 buyers here that'd like to buy some stuff. Is it okay if I have them come in here? Just understanding what they've got to do. Bring it on, man. People just had so much fun. It was a lot of fun. And while I was teaching that class, we were having a great time. And by the way, a lot of our people learned a lot of things. Miss Sally taught me some things I did not know. Was it Walmart? I think you got a discount at Walmart or a discount. I learned you could get discount at regular stores. Just ask for it. And I saved a ton of money going to Home Depot. I'd go into Home Depot and say, what do I have to do to get a discount? And they give me a $50 discount because I asked for it. And by the way, that's biblical. That's biblical. So I had a lot of fun with it. And then I was teaching this verse. And about 2 weeks before I taught this verse, God set me up. I didn't know he was setting me up, but he set me up. And as I was teaching, it says, diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. What is it? I think verse 23. I just off the top of my head. Verse 23 also says in this same chapter, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. I'm going to teach you what this means in a minute, but I want to tell you what God did to me, so hopefully it'll stick in your brain like it did mine. So about 2 weeks before that, someone was talking, and they said, there's a pastor, and they offered to do this business deal. And a lot of times people think if you make money, you're crooked in a business deal. That is so false. Christians shouldn't make too much money. What is too much money? Well, I think a pastor shouldn't be rich. If you need the pastor to buy you tires, you hope he's rich. So we have some falsehoods, and I'm going to hit on a few of them. But they said, is this ethical? And they basically said it was during the housing bubble that had popped for those folks who were old enough to remember that. And a fellow had invested a ton of money into these houses, and this supposedly this person was going to declare bankruptcy, and they asked him to purchase the house before he declared bankruptcy at full price, declare it in that bankruptcy. And then to get an $80,000 kickback. For some reason, that gripped me. What I mean by that is, I know everyone's a sinner. Everyone, point at me. I was like, I know everyone's a sinner. You people. No, but I understand we're all sinners, and I work with nothing but broken people. None of you are perfect. Some of you are just better actors than others, and I'm okay with that. So very rarely does someone come in, I did such and such sin. I go, I just can't get over it. Okay, I've been around this for a while. But for some reason that gripped me. God was setting me up. And I thought, that's so foolish. That's so foolish. I'm working on my volume. You've forsaken the blessings of God for $80,000. God has so much more than that. You walked away from the blessings of God for $80,000. How foolish can we be? It sounds like a lot of money, but it's not when you compare it to the blessings of God. You walked away from the blessings of God for $80,000, and it ate me. And I don't lose sleep over stuff. I lost sleep over this. It bothered me. By the way, I don't know if the story is true. I don't know if it ever happened. I'm not bad-mouthing a preacher out there. Honestly, what it turns out was happening is God was setting me up. It bothered me. And I was up here and I started teaching about it. Right in the back of the auditorium, I had a Sunday school class, and I was sitting there teaching. And while I was teaching this, I gave that illustration. And then in the middle, before I even finished the illustration, God had set me up. And he said, Roman, you'll do it for 50. I'll fudge on my taxes. I'll work under the table. I'll sell stuff on Craigslist and say, oh, the IRS doesn't care. It's not enough money. And I wanted everything in me wanted just to stop in the middle of the message. Just say, I can't preach anymore. I got to go get right with God. I was mad that a preacher sold God for $80,000. I sold God for $50. That's how worthless God is to me. That's how cheap I treated God. See, here's what it means, an unjust weight and an unjust balance. I think I have one back here. Let me just double check. I don't. So I was going to have one of the girls help me. But let's say let's say this weighs a shekel. Jeff, I can't do this. I was going to have you do something for me, but I'm supposed to be socially distant, so I'll work on this. So let's just say this weighs, this weighs a shekel and this weighs a shekel. So a shekel was an amount of money, and you measured by weight the amount of money, right? So if you came to my house and you were going to buy something, and I say it's going to cost you a shekel, and you start putting the gold in there on my scale, you got to bring the scale up till the thing's even. You with me? And then I said, there's a shekel. And I have a bag of weights, and I look inside, and one of the weight weighs a little bit more than a shekel. So if I fudge just a little bit, I can get a little extra money out of you, and you would never know the difference. You can't tell if it's a shekel or not a shekel. And so all I'm doing is fudging just a little bit. You know, you can be a multimillionaire by fudging. There was a fella, and I don't know the whole story, but it's a pretty interesting story. Years ago, he was a computer whiz guy, and he's out of Russia, and he started taking a half a cent from everybody's account. And the banks did not have any way of calculating a half a cent. They did not know where the money was going. He got millions of dollars. Because nobody could track how that was, what was happening. They couldn't figure out. There was nothing in the banks that calculated half a cent. And if you fudge just a little bit long enough, you can get some money. And he said this. He said, if you fudge at diverse weights and diverse measures, if you fudge just a little bit, just to benefit yourself a little bit. Is that my wife? Surfing the net in the middle of my sermon? I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight. I shouldn't have pointed that out. It says, watch this. Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Now, watch this. You fudge just a little bit. God said, that makes me sick. The word abomination, and ladies, I know you hate it when I do this, but it's an illustration you don't forget. Imagine I said, I'm going to feed you a bowl of spiders and slugs, and I want you to eat that with rotten milk. Okay, I'm stopping because you're all getting ready to vomit inside your masks and so on. And you're like, that's not just no thank you. That is disgusting. That is an abomination. Now watch this. For $50... I made myself an abomination to God. I made sure to tithe. I made sure to give offerings. But for $50, I was an abomination to God. That was hard to finish that message. It was hard to finish that message. You know, when I came to Washington, I originally was from Oregon. Once you leave Oregon, you have to call it Oregon. And I'm originally from Oregon. Now I'm a whole 7 miles away from Oregon. And they said this. Everybody told me the same thing. They said, hey, when you come to Washington, keep your Oregon ID for as long as you can. Because with your Oregon ID, you don't have to pay sales tax. Oh, I hate sales tax. Do you all know I hate sales tax? Do you know that I drive across the river to buy a Tootsie Roll? I hate sales tax. I didn't grow up with sales tax. So I came across and I got my Washington ID and I got my Oregon ID and I'm all excited. I'm not going to have to pay sales tax. I'm going to be able to do this probably for a year or two. And the lady at Walmart right over here, she says, are you a Washington resident? I'm here to be a pastor. And I'm going to lie to save 67 cents. Yes, Washington resident. My heart's still in Oregon. You know what would have happened? I would have been an abomination to God because I fudged. I'd sell God for 67 cents. You mock Esau who sold God for a bowl of chili. But you fudge. Well, they won't know. Just don't say anything about this on your taxes. Ooh. And you became an abomination to God. Let me ask you a question. What's the most important thing to making money in business? Does anybody know? I'll say this. I'll make it simple. For Christians, what's the most important thing for making money in business? Anybody have an idea? What do you think, hon? Huh? Preaching. Actually, you're pretty close. You are pretty close. How old are you? 8 years old. That's pretty close. The blessings of God. The blessings of God. What's more important than the blessings of God? You can plant all the corn in the ground, but nothing's going to happen unless God blesses. You can get rich, and the Bible says that God holds up the riches of the wicked to give to the righteous. It can all disappear. Riches have wings, and they fly away. Nothing's more important than the blessings of God. He says, Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. Oh, the Lord maketh rich. I thought it was evil to be rich. Huh. Isn't that funny, by the way? Let me tell you a little secret about that. I'm going to rant for a second. Is that okay? Y'all with me? Some go like this. Okay, Jeff, thank you. Okay, I'm going to rant for a second, okay? You ever notice the people that say, rich people are evil? They have all that money that's evil. You're right. They should take it from them. Who do you think should get it? The person who thinks the rich person is evil. Well, if the money is so evil, why do you want it? Do you want to get a pile of it and burn it? No. You want to be lazy and spend it for the rich people who are evil. That's what you want to do. That was just a little side thing for you. So understand this. It says diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them alike, are an abomination. It's disgusting to God. Why would you spend all this time tithes and offerings and giving and then just be an abomination to God for $100 in tax season? Now, this was big to me. That's why I'm taking some time with it. You will not do well in business if God is cursing you. Did it ever dawn on you? You understand, God promised you something if you don't bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse that he would make your money disappear. You ever seen someone get a big inheritance and it was like they had holes in the money bag and it just all... What do they have to show for it? You ever see people get big checks or big amounts of income and just... It's gone. What happened? They use the term, they blew through it. The Bible says... God has promised you something. He promised you it will disappear. We have a president named Donald Trump. Anybody heard of him? Only a couple of you have heard of him. Good. The rest of you need to start learning who your president is. We have a president named Donald Trump. Before he was the president, I studied a little bit about him. He was a businessman. And I enjoyed some of the things he did business-wise. There's some things that he did that I really enjoyed watching. This is before the show Apprentice came out and all that. But before all that came out, he had a personal debt, not a business debt. Very important you understand this. A personal, Donald Trump's personal debt of $4 billion dollars. And by the way, this is in the 90s. $4 billion was a little bit more than it is now. I mean, then, more than it would be now. $4 billion. He said he had an epiphany. He changed his life. He was walking down the street. He saw a homeless guy on the side of the street, and he thought, that man is $4 billion richer than me because he's at zero. I'm $4 billion negative. Do you understand? You can't make enough money that it can't disappear. Stay with me. Don't bring the curse of God on yourself financially. It's hard as a pastor because I know people who don't understand it. Sometimes they think I'm greedy because they'll say, "Well, Pastor, I'm having financial difficulty. I can't pay my rent. I can't keep up on things. I say, "Okay, are you tithing?" "Well, I can't. I can't afford to tithe." "No, you can't afford not to. Why?" "Because you're not getting the blessings of God." And let me say this because I got to be careful here. There are people who don't even believe in God who have money. You got and who are rich. Okay. So I'm talking about, the Bible says the Lord gives riches without sorrows. There's a specific thing here. It's called the blessings of God. You're going to fudge $20 on your taxes and become an abomination to God and lose the blessings. How does that make sense? By the way, I teach this in the business course all the time. You know why? Because I was taught that was normal. I go to sell a car. A guy says, I go to buy a car in Washington. It's almost happened almost every time. The guy will look at me and they'll say, "How much do you want me to put on here that I sold it for?" Why? If you put a lower amount, you don't have to pay as much sales tax. And there's even other tricks to it I won't teach you all because I'm not trying to make you crooks. But there's a lower amount. And they're willing to put whatever you want. They don't care. It's the government. And the government really isn't handling the money all that well anyway, so who cares if they get their chunk? You with me? And I go, the full amount. "Oh, no, I mean, nobody will know. God will know." I sell stuff on Craigslist. If you sell more than, I forgot how much it was, but if there comes a point where you cross a line from a hobby to a business. And 1 year I did fairly well, so I called them up and they said, "You're selling enough, you have to be a business." So you are automatically a business. Your business number is your social security number. If you are a sole proprietor is what they call that. And so I started selling on Craigslist. And then at the end of the year, I said, "Well, how much do I owe for taxes?" And someone says, "Well, what about sales tax?" "No, I got a letter. It says, you need to pay your sales tax." The letter says, "Pay your sales tax or go to jail." That's the letter they send you. It's a vicious letter. "Pay your sales tax or go to jail." I'm like, "Oh, sales tax. I don't know how to do sales. Okay, I'll just figure how much profit I made and pay sales tax." Sales tax is on gross, not on profit. Oh, man. So I remember paying sales tax. Oh, that hurt. And nobody would have known. It was all cash business on Craigslist. Nobody cared. Nobody reports. There was no evidence. You can't tell if somebody purchased something on Craigslist. Nobody would have known except God. So I did that because I didn't want to be an abomination. And the next year, I tripled the amount of business I did. And then I went in, and I paid enough in sales tax that it would be able to purchase an inexpensive new car. And this is when my wife had cancer. I spent a lot more time working, creating income, trying to pay for our bills. So I don't have a business on the side right now, but it was a specific time. When I went in, I had this check. You know what I found out? Okay, Jeff, you're going to sell a boat. Okay, and it's your sixth boat, and since you sold more than five vehicles, you now are considered a business, and you got to make sure to keep your taxes. And you're going to drive to Snohomish, Washington, and deliver the boat. Okay, so when you go to Snohomish, Washington, you have state sales tax, and then you have county tax, and you have city tax, and you have to figure out what the tax is in every city you deliver to, and then you have to figure that into your taxes. Nobody does that. I did. I walked in with this big check, and the lady says, "Nobody would ever know if you didn't do this." I said, "God would." She goes, Oh. Now stay with me for a second. What's the most important thing? The blessings of God. What's the most important thing for your personal finances? The blessings of God. Boy, I'm running out of time. Can you guys learn faster? Raise your hand if you can learn faster. Who's hot right now, by the way? And if you need to pull your mask down to breathe for a second and put it back on, breathe for a second. I understand it's really hard to pay attention, and sometimes you need some air that's different than just your carbon dioxide and things like that. So that's okay. Breathe. Okay. So stay with me then. Now, the most important thing is the blessings of God. Are you willing to sacrifice the blessings of God so you can fudge? Now, here's a sad answer. For 90% of the Christians, yes. I'm just fudging a little. God doesn't care if it's not very much. You make statements that you've never, ever quantified. Well, let me ask you this. Who's ever heard you can go 4 miles over the speed limit before you can get a ticket? Anybody ever heard that before? Who's ever called the Washington State Police Department and asked them if that was true? One person. There we go. Who's ever thought, well, I'm not making enough to declare it with the IRS? Okay. And then who's ever called them and asked them? I thought, I preached that a couple of times. I thought, wait a minute. I've never called them and asked them. So I called them and asked them. I said, well, my kids are doing some business, and they're under 18. We don't care. Yeah, they're not prejudiced. They'll take anybody's money. And I said, okay. Said, how much money can they make in a year's time before they have to declare it? $400. If they make $400 in a year's time, they have to declare it. They may not have to pay taxes on it, but they have to declare it. 400 or 4,000? 400. The IRS did want that money. I'm just doing a little work under the table. What does under the table mean? I just work on the side. Are you declaring the taxes on the side? Well, it's too hard to keep track of. It seems to be easy enough to collect and spend. Pastor, I wasn't trying to be mean. But I'm helping you with something. I'm helping you. Please trust me, I'm helping you. The most important thing you can get is the blessings of God. The 3 years I did that, each year my business tripled. And I kept telling people, look, God's blessing this. Don't stop God from blessing you when He wants to. God will not violate His word to bless you. You don't ask God to please violate what you said in your word in order to bless me. You with me? Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. It says this, even a child, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Do you understand that you will be known by how you do business? I said this to my son. I mentioned this earlier. I went to buy. I have these things called ShopSmiths, and they're woodworking tools. And a guy told me years ago when I first got one, or I only gotten a few, he said, welcome to the cult. I said, what? He didn't know I was a pastor, and I didn't know what he meant by it. He says, the ShopSmith cult. Once you get a ShopSmith, you have to have another one, and you have to have all the attachments. And I was like, what does he mean? I think I need a drill press. I started getting all the attachments. And I was like, now I get it. I have multiple machines. And I would buy and sell them. So I went to go buy a machine, and it was a very good price. I think Danny, you were the one with me. I think Danny was the one with me. I went after a Wednesday night church service. I told the fellow I was going to be a little bit late. And I raced over to his house up in Battleground. He's an older fellow. And I said, Danny, listen. I said, this machine sells for about $1,500. He's asking $400 for it. When I get there, I'm under no obligation to tell him that it's worth any more than what he asked for it. It's supply and demand. What you want for it is what it's worth, or what I'm willing to pay is what it's worth, whichever we agree on. I said, but when I get there, I'm going to make sure he understands it's worth more money, and here's why. Because I want him to be able to walk into the back of my church, look up and see me, and find out that I'm the pastor of the church, and say, I can trust that man. Not, if that man gets a chance, he'll take me. Because I don't have to do this, and I'm not making a violation, but a good name is rather to be chosen than... Let's try that again. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Millions of dollars. Your good name is rather to be chosen than millions of dollars. So I went in there. We talked to the fella. He had more stuff than he advertised. It was unbelievable. I mean, just some really neat stuff. And he was showing it all to me, and I was having a ball. And I said, look, I got to stop you for a second. I said, I want you to understand, I know the Shop Smith business. I already own several of them. I buy and sell these. I am stealing this from you. This is way underpriced. He goes, well, I absolutely know that. He said, I just want to get out of my garage. I wanted it gone fast, and so I'm selling it for way less than it's worth. I said, hey, I'm happy to steal it from you as long as you know I'm stealing it from you. He says, the reason you came late, was that because you were at church? Yeah, I'm the pastor. I thought so. And he told me about some missions work he did in the Philippines. He came from church to meet me. Now, you say, what's going on? Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. When I was a kid, I had a friend. Gabe would know this friend. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to embarrass him. He may watch online and so on. But he was known for pinching his pennies, okay? And if he's listening, he knows who I'm talking about, okay? We gave him a bad time about it all the time. And he would do things, and me and Pastor Byron would joke about it. Oh, we still joke about it. He would do things like one time he had these pair of shoes, and they're literally plastic soles. They were like plastic. And he said, I got these shoes, and I'm never going to wear them. Do you want them? I said, no, thank you. He said, well, try them on. I said, well, I don't want them. He said, no, just try them on. I tried them on. He says, you got to take them. I said, no, I don't want them. And he insisted forever. And finally, like, it's easier just to take them and throw them away than to, you know, than to keep telling him no. I said, oh, okay, I'll take them. He says, good, here you go. Gave them to me. He says, that's the $10 I owe you because you borrowed $10. I said, no, you owe me the $10. No, I gave you the shoes. I don't want the shoes. Yeah, but they're worth way more than $10. I'm giving you a great deal. No, you're not. You're giving me my $10. No, I don't owe you $10 anymore. I gave you shoes. I'm going to give you these shoes, and I'm going to stuff them in your nose. You're going to pay me $10. Don't ever borrow $10 from me again. He said, well, what do you call me an Indian giver? That's a thing they used to say in the old days before it was considered horrible. And I was like, oh, you said what? No. And I was like, no, you're going to give me my, he fought me over that forever. I had to fight him to get my $10. And I didn't care about the $10. I wasn't going to have you play that game. He did that all the time. He gave Pastor Byram tickets. He went berry picking, and they give you these tickets that you turn in at the end of the day, and he didn't turn them in. So he gave him tickets so next year when the strawberry fields open up, he could go down there and turn them in and get his money back. That's what he tried to pay Pastor Byram with. Pastor Byram went in his room, found his money, and took it from him. He said, give me my money back. Now, wait a minute. We're making jokes about this. I turned 50, which makes him 51 or 2, right in there. You with me? And he was 16 years old. 16 years old. And we still know him for that. There are people you went to school with that you know as being rotten people. You with me? Some of them have changed. I was leading a Bible study at Oregon City High School. While I was leading a Bible study at Oregon City High School, a man walked in, a young man that's my age, walked in while I was preaching the Bible study, and I almost couldn't preach. You see, the last time I saw him was just before he left my junior high school, and I was walking down the hallway in my junior high school, and he was in my way. So I told him to move, just to be a punk. I said, get out of my way. He decided to stand up to the bully. And he said, no, I was here first. I'm not going to do it. And I grabbed him by the hair and I hit his head against the wall. And he started crying in front of his friends. I said, you going to get out of my way? That's hard for me to even talk about. Imagine I did that. And then I'm preaching and he walks into the Bible study. I just want to stop and go, hey, sorry. That's not me. But even a child is known by their doings. Even when you're a child, you need to be honest. Even when you're a child, you need to... Parents, teach your children to tithe and to give offerings and to give to missions and to be givers and to share. Teach them while they're young. They will carry a reputation that will not leave them for decades. When you're doing business, you'll be known by your doings. Even a child is known by his doings. And I'm gonna leave off there. I just got a couple minutes, but let me do a quick review. And then understand, it's not all this brutal. Some of the stuff tells you how to create income and what it takes to create income and why you're missing some. So many times you're fishing in the wrong pond, so to speak. And you don't even know why. What bait do I need to buy to catch fish? And I'm like, there are no fish in that bathtub. You got to fish in the right place. And the Bible tells you how to create income. I'll give you this before I let you go, because it's not just going to be brutally beating you up. I beat you up some because we're in America, we fudge. And we get away with it because we're a rich economy. No one's going to chase us for the dimes and pennies. If you shortchange someone in the store, life's really going to be changed. We fudge. Okay? And especially with the government, we think it's okay to fudge. Stay with me. So I stayed on that for a little bit because I don't want you to walk away from the blessings of God for $50. To be an abomination to God. You with me? You all with me so far? So it won't be all that brutal, but I'll give you one concept and then we'll go through this a little bit quicker next week. Do you understand the Bible tells you how to create income? You know what creates income? Oh, do you remember, Alex? I don't expect you to, but what makes money? Yeah, what makes money? Spending money is one of the ways to reproduce money. But what creates wealth? How's that? What creates wealth? I don't know if you knew. It was in a business. Huh? No, it's close, though. Biblically, it's a verse. No, you can't remember? Can you remember, Danny? No, money doesn't create wealth. I'll tell you really quick. I thought, because some of the people had the class and closed over, I don't pull her out. She was sleeping that day. So here's what it is. The Bible says, knowledge creates wealth. I don't want to misquote the verse, but there's a verse in the Bible that says, by wisdom the house is, I think, founded, by its understanding is established, and by knowledge it is filled with all manner of riches and so on and so forth. So your car breaks down, the engine blows up, it's smoking on fire or whatever. You call a junkyard and they give you $200 for your car. You with me? And you go, okay, yeah, I'll take $200 for the car. Why did they pay you $200 for the car? Because they have knowledge. They're going to pull your alternator off and they're going to get $300 on eBay Motors, the same place you could sell it. They're going to pull the water pump off and they're going to get $150 for your water pump. They're going to get $400 for your tires and wheels. They're going to get $1,000 for that stereo system that you put in the car that broke down because it's worth more than your car. They're going to get money for your wiring harness. They're going to walk out of that car with $2,000 and you're going to hand it to them for $200. What's the difference? They have knowledge. So I'm going to teach you there's some biblical principles that create wealth, and I'm going to teach you how that works later on. So don't forsake me. It'll be a lot of fun, but I wanted you to understand nothing is more important than having the blessings of God. Do not do something that'll violate having the blessings of God. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll call it an evening. Heavenly Father, would you help us to be a people who strive to please you? Lord, often when we talk about income and money, the Bible says that money is a gauge. If you can't be faithful in that which is an unrighteous mammon, you won't be trusted with the true riches. It's a way to see how we deal with power. And Lord, often people get lose focus and they think making money and being rich will give them something that it really doesn't. But Father, would you help us to be a people who say, I want the blessings of God. And if I get income, I want to use it to please God. And Father, help us not to do things that violate having the blessing, your blessings on our lives. Lord, if there's someone in here tonight, we're going to have a quick invitation. It won't be long. But tonight I ask that if they've been violating something that makes it so you can't prosper them or that stops you, prevents you from blessing them in the way that you want to, Father, would you help them tonight to say, God, I want your blessings more than I want to fudge, more than I want to edge a little bit, more than I want to not obey. I want your blessings, and I'm going to do what it takes to get it. I'm going to buy wisdom and sell it not. I'll spend my money to get your blessings. Please help us to be a people who see things the way you see it. Bless this invitation like only you can, Father. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the piano plays, why don't you pray for a minute? How much money would the devil have to pay you to displease God? What number is it? When you fudge, you do it for pennies. When you cheat just a little bit, when you don't keep the rules and you hide things, you walk away from the blessings of God and you do it so cheap, the devil laughs at God and says, your people will sell you for a bowl of chili. Said about a Christian. People at Skyview Baptist Church, they're just. They don't have diverse weights and measures. You can trust them. Even when it hurts them financially, they will do what God wants them to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. And thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us so much. Father, even to be able to talk about how to deal with finances, that means we have finances to deal with. You provide for so much. Lord, help us to be a people who live in such a way that we're pleasing to you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just a minute.